This meeting is
Good
being
evening,
recorded.
everybody. This is Annie Chapetta, and welcome to the Behind Our Eyes book launch for June 18th, 2026, with Sally Rosenthal and interviewed by Alice Massa.
Thank you, Annie. Good evening, everyone. I am Alice Massa, and on behalf of Behind Our Eyes and the Behind Our Eyes Book Launch Committee, I welcome all of you to the book launch for poet and author Sally Rosenthal with her book, Winter Pilgrimage, A Journey Through Later Life. And I want to ask all of you on this June 18, 2026, as Annie just said, I invite all of you to come back with me to December of 2021, when Sally first held in her hands her first book. I am sure that many of you here this evening remember that thrill of holding the first book you had published. And now Sally has two of those.
Star 582 has joined the meeting.
And we are a few months later, after Sally first held that book, she had her first Behind Our Eyes book launch for her first book, Peonies in Winter, A Journey Through Loss, Grief, and Healing. And after that, of course, it was one of 10 book launches that Behind Our Eyes had during that first year of our new project of book launches. Eventually, our organization decided that we were going to have an award for the best of the book launches for each year. And in 2022, of those 10 book launches, our membership voted for the one that they wanted to celebrate and honor. And during that first year of book launches in 2022, Sally's book launch received the inaugural Bauble Award. That's what we call our Best of the Bow Book Launches Award. And in addition, in October of 2023, Sally had three poems published in Spirit Fire Review. Editor Cindy Bousquet Harris selected one of those three poems and nominated that poem for the famous Pushcart Prize. This poem, entitled Another Kind of Prayer, is now in Sally's latest book. And besides being nominated for the prestigious Pushcart Prize, Sally poetry has also received recognition through the Poetry Awards of Magnets and Ladders, our Behind Our Eyes online literary publication. During Sally's earlier years of her career as an academic librarian, and then later as an occupational therapist, she also primarily focused on nonfiction writing and had writing published in both academia and in the Disability Rights Press. Fortunately for us, Sally, later in life, turned to poetry. Nevertheless, she has continued with writing nonfiction. For more than 25 years, she has been the book reviewer for Best Friends magazine, the publication of Best Friends Animal Society, a national animal rescue and welfare organization. I am glad and grateful to have both of Sally's books on my bookshelf and also in my Kindle library so I can listen to them as well. I highly recommend these two books of Sally's to all of you here this evening. And I am now very happy to introduce to you our poet and author, Sally Rosenthal. Good evening, Sally. And I know you want to begin your book launch with some thanks to a number of people.
Alice, thank you. I'm going to hire you as my publicist. First of all, I want to thank Alice for doing this again. Here we are again, round two. Alice, thank you so much for everything you put into these interviews. I really appreciate it. I'd also like to thank the Carousel Poets, Marlene, Carol, Marilyn, Val, and Linda. Continued to meet after taking a workshop with Cindy Harris. We just didn't want to give up, so we meet monthly and give ourselves prompts and write poetry. I'd also like to thank Lisa Bush for offering to do some longer readings tonight, things that were too long for me to memorize. I'd like to thank Cindy Harris of Spirit Fire Review, especially for the Pushcart Prize nomination. That was such a wonderful validation of my work. Charles Portolano of the Avocet, Rita Reynolds of Le Joie, the journal honoring all creatures, Mary Jo Lord, the Magnets and Ladder team, and the Bow Anthology team. Thank you so much, everybody, for supporting and publishing my work. I'd really like to thank Leonard Titchener. Without his Group 3 critique group, including Cleora, Marcia, Deanna, and Leonard and me, most of these poems never would have been written. Leonard gave me the opportunity and the space to write, and he always saw things in my writing that I didn't see myself. So thank you, Leonard, and I'm so glad, just like everybody else must be, that you're here this evening. And if Diane is there too with you, Diane, thank you for being here too. I think I've got everybody except my cat, Tams, and she wants to be acknowledged because she was part of the dedication in both books. So I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I did, I apologize.
That's a wonderful list of thank yous. And I thank you very much for being here and part of a second book launch. I know that after you wrote your first book, the just very impressive Peonies in Winter, that you thought that was just one and done, that you were a one book wonder, but instead, you transitioned eventually to thinking about a second book. So can you talk to us about that change of thinking about your writing a second book?
I hadn't planned to write a second book. Last October, I was going through my Word documents, and I thought, I have a lot of things here that I've written since Peonies in Winter. And if I'm going to do anything with them, I should probably do something now. And they didn't really fit into any particular category. But as I read through them, I thought, well, these are things I've written since I turned 70. So let's look at them in that context of things that are important to me, and I hope other people as we age. And I thought, let's get them all together. And I called the DeBorkins, and within 2 months, I had everything put together and they were editing it for me. So,
yes, it did seem to happen fairly quickly, as things usually
yeah.
do. So that
well,
was.
Most of the poems were already written. There were a few that I added, and then I wrote the prose pieces to tie them together.
And can you tell us just a little more? I know your book is not in chronological order, and it's not really organized by theme. Do you want to say a few more words about how you did organize the second book?
It's a higgledy-piggledy mess. What I did was I looked at everything I had written and I thought, well, you know, as we age, and especially in our 70s, we don't think in linear form anymore. As I think I said in the introduction of the author's note, 1 minute I might be thinking about a kidney surgery I had a couple years ago, and the next minute I'm thinking about shelling peas with my great aunt Ivy when I was 5. So I thought, well, these things are all important to me as I aged. So let's just put them out there and people can pick up the book and dip in at any spot and read and hopefully hit something that they connect with.
Oh, I think everybody can connect with the pieces in both of your books. And can you, I know you had a very distinct purpose in writing Peonies in Winter. Can you tell us about a little more about the purpose in your writing Winter Pilgrimage?
Well, I looked at Winter Pilgrimage as a transition from Peonies in Winter, which was written 2 years after, about 2 years after my husband died. And I looked at that book as a grief book for processing grief myself and offering help to other people. And I think Winter Pilgrimage came about as I went through grief, processed it, and came out the other end, and had a lot of things that I still wanted to say. So that's where Winter Pilgrimage came from.
Very good. And at this point, I want to share with our audience that Sally will be presenting to us some of the poems. There are about 50, I think, that I counted in the book. That's about 135 pages. And then a guest reader that Sally will soon introduce will also be reading a prose piece and another poem or two as well. So you all have that to look forward to. So as we think about those upcoming poems, at this stage in your life, and as we look toward that first poem, what is your manner of writing now?
I write very short poetry. The one Lisa is going to read, Dinner with a Guest, is one of my very few longer ones. I usually get an idea or a phrase rattling around in my head for a day or two. And if it doesn't go away, I know I have to write about it. So I'll sit down with a cup of tea, meditate on it a little bit, and juggle some words around. And by the time I go to the computer, I usually have at least the first 3 or 4 lines written, memorized. And once I sit down at the computer and get those lines in, everything else just flows. I don't know where it comes from. I'm just glad it comes. I'm very grateful for it. And I've never liked clutter. And I think because I write very sparse poetry, I look at it as an emotional snapshot. I take an event or an emotion, and I want the reader to read and get an impact from it. And I think if I wrote longer poetry, it wouldn't have the impact I want it to have. So that's why I write short poetry. Plus, it's easier for me to memorize.
Well, your poetry certainly does flow, not only from you to your computer, but also to us, your very devoted readers. And so at this time, would you like to introduce and then present your poem at 70, the first poem
Yes.
in the collection?
Thanks. This came out of a workshop many of us took with Cindy Harris. And I look at this poem at 70 and the last poem in the book, The Coming Winter, as bookends, both sort of this period of my life and of the book itself. So at 70. At 70, I cradle creativity's stone in my hands, sensing beneath its polished surface, rough edges rivers of years could not wear down, the ones now tumbling into words. The end.
All right, and that is a fine example of the conciseness of your thoughts in your poems and how there's not an extra word there that you just write with such sparsity of words, and yet you give us so much description. And I know you also describe your poems as emotional snapshots. Would you like to say anything more about that,
Well,
Sally?
I think especially with at 70, I've always looked at my writing as being authentic and honest. But I think when we reach the age of 70 and beyond, we write, or at least I do, write with a little more immediacy. And things that I might have kept a little private earlier in my life, I figure, you don't have much time left. It's, the years ahead are fewer than the years behind. So let's write whatever you want to write and be even more authentic and honest about it.
Well, very good. And your poetry relates so well to all of us who are around this age at this time. And I think in the second poem that you're going to present to us this evening, this, I think touches probably each one of us who is gathered around this Zoom room this evening. And especially the closing lines of this poem are just so tender. And so would you please introduce and then share with us your poem one by one?
Okay. One by One was written when I had several close friends die in the last few years, and some guide dogs too, who were also my close friends. But you realize when you're this age, you are going to lose people. And what keeps them alive is your memory of them. So one by one. One by one, they are leaving, these friends of my youth and later years. By my choice, they are family. Our bond is love-crafted, born not of blood or ancestry. For decades, we danced in celebration, rocked each other in grief, and shared life's ordinary times. Taken slowly by cancer or dementia, or felled swiftly by stroke or caprice, their bodies no longer walk this earth, but I gently carry my dear heart's memories until I meet them on the other side of now. The end.
You recited that beautifully for us, Sally. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank Alice, thank you for everything you're saying.
Well, it's just such a meaningful poem, and I really appreciate that poem. You extend your thoughts on aging, you write in your
Cindy,
introduction,
okay, there
through
is still
your
only one quote.
prose.
Ella, quote the other side of now, quote.
And in your six prose pieces, among your six prose pieces, you've selected one of those to share with us this evening. And I'd like for you, please, now to introduce that prose piece that you've selected, What We Leave Behind. Please, Sally.
Okay, What We Leave Behind. I think as we reach this age, I'm 73 now. As we reach this age, we kind of look at ourselves and say, what matters in my life? What will I leave behind? And I have a good friend who's 3 months older than I am, and she calls me all the time and says, so-and-so died, so-and-so died, and they're only 3 years older than we are. So I just kind of thought, well, what are we leaving behind? And basically, those of us, you know, ordinary people, aren't going to leave anything that the world is going to know about. I think what we leave behind is our interactions one-on-one with other people or animals. And I'm happy with that. I think kindness is a good thing. It costs nothing. And I think that's partly why we were put on earth, to be kind and take care of each other. So, Lisa, if you would please read What We Leave Behind.
What We Leave Behind. One of the realities of getting older is that it brings one closer to death. That's just a fact of life, a sobering one to be sure, but nonetheless true. As I age, so do my heroes. A few days ago, a woman I had admired for decades died at the age of 91. As I read and listened to all the tributes about the life of Jane Goodall, I couldn't help but think that she was someone who had done a great deal of good in her lifetime. From her pioneering work with chimpanzees to her tireless efforts on behalf of environmental causes, the slight woman with a large heart that held all of Earth's creatures in its care lived a life of conviction and action, leaving a legacy that will benefit our planet and all who inhabit it. At 73, I have begun wondering, upon hearing of the deaths of people I admire, what my own legacy will be. Because I have no children or close relatives, what I leave behind will not be a family legacy. Looking back, I believe I have tried to be kind and find ways to make my small part of the world, as well as the wider world, a better place. None of my actions have even come close to having the impact that someone like Jane Goodall has had. But I believe we can all make small choices daily that can make life better. Most of those actions are on a small scale, but that doesn't matter. The intent and action are the key elements. I have been fortunate enough to have had the opportunity in my personal and professional lives to make differences in the lives of people and animals. No, these changes weren't big or even important beyond an individual or two, but to those people or animals, my actions helped them when help was needed. That's a legacy I want to claim for my own.
Thank you, Lisa. That was wonderful reading.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. And for those of you who are not as familiar with Behind Our Eyes, Lisa is our current president of Behind Our Eyes and will soon have held that position for 2 years, one full term. And we look forward to more from Lisa as our president. So thank you very much, Lisa, for your participation this evening. The piece that Lisa just read and the other poems that you've already heard this evening definitely show the variety in Sally's writing. And Sally mentioned earlier that the one poem that you will hear tonight, the next poem, that it is longer than what she usually writes. And it's different also because it's a story poem and it has a touch of fantasy in it. So, Sally, would you like to introduce Dinner with a Ghost.
Dinner with a Ghost came about from the Carousel Poets. Valerie gave a prompt one month of write a poem about having dinner with someone who's no longer alive. So this poem, Dinner with a Ghost, is about my late husband, Sandy. I wrote it 5 years after he died, and I think I needed that time to process his death, go through grief, but also because the last several years of his life, he was very, very ill, in chronic pain and severely depressed. It was not an easy time for either of us. And it took those years for me to remember the person I married, the really funny, smart man, because it was overshadowed so much by the last couple years of caregiving. So I decided to write a poem about Sandy, and I wanted to set it in a time where we would meet. And as Alice says, it is a bit of fantasy, and I think it's a transition poem. It helped me move from the themes of peonies and winter to this new stage of my life. And toward the end of the poem, it mentions a new stage in my life, and we'll talk about more of that later. So, Lisa, if you would please read Dinner with a Ghost, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. Dinner with a Ghost. In a different universe and another life, my late husband, now able to hold a glass of wine, gazes around the harborside restaurant and rises to meet me as I enter, white cane extended. For I am only a visitor in this new world in which he walks and brings wine to his lips of his own accord. Reading the daily specials from a chalkboard menu, he asks if I still like salmon and if the roasted red potatoes will do. I compliment him on his ability to sit unaided
The
as I
cough as
carefully
breathing people.
adjust my spine and its lifelong curvature. He pours my wine and slides the glass into my waiting hand. Once intimate, now almost strangers, we search for conversation that will not jar or open wounds. I inquire about everyday life in heaven, but that topic is forbidden. So I tell him he sounds well now that pain and depression do not grapple for his soul. He tells me I look pretty and happier than I did during his last years on earth. As we drain our espresso cups and ready ourselves to leave, he asks me to thank the man who brightens my life because he never wanted me to be lonely. When he walks me to the door, I turn to thank him for our 30 years, dinner, or just his care. But he has vanished into that different world and time.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes, thank you, Lisa. Read that beautifully again for us. And now we're going to turn to the title poem of Sally's second book. And once again, Sally offers her readers a superb closing line. And I always think, I wonder if Sally begins writing the poem by writing the final line first, because she just has some great closing lines to her poems. But Sally, I think you've already told us you start
No,
from the beginning and let it
I
flow.
have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to be. They surprise me as much as they surprise you.
Well, that must be a joy in your writing process then, because you have some wonderful closing lines. So would you like
Oh,
to
thank you.
introduce to us Winter Pilgrimage, the poem?
Okay. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about the subjects of this poem in a few minutes, so I'll just recite it. Winter Pilgrimage. Sitting quietly as dawn approaches, she reflects upon the unexpected journey she has recently undertaken, with white hair and life's heavy baggage to twine with his body and soul, a pilgrimage on which old hearts in winter bloom again. The end.
Okay, and there's that wonderful closing line for us. And since this is the title poem of your book, I think it's a good time to talk about the availability of your book.
Okay. It's available on Amazon in print, in hardback, and soft cover, and Kindle text-to-speech enabled. And I've had some people tell me that they bought the Kindle edition and were able to download it to a Braille device. I don't know anything about Braille, and read it that way. I am working on a Kindle, on an Audible.com edition, but my narrator had several larger projects, so that's lagging a little bit. I'm sure that we'll get it out eventually. Several members have notified their regional libraries and hope that they will get it narrated by one of them, so it could be available that way. At this point, that's the availability of it.
Okay. And I can certainly say that having Alexa read it, she's sounding much better. And I think because of the way Sally writes her poems and her prose, but I think it's especially noticeable in the poetry that, and with the punctuation that Sally uses, Alexa reads her Sally's poetry especially well. It's just very good listening, if that's
I
one
thought,
way.
yeah, I
Go
thought
ahead.
The second book came up much better on Kindle than the first one.
I agree. They're doing something a little bit differently, because it's certainly a better listening for us and does much more justice to your writing. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your book cover?
The book cover, when I sat down in October and looked at the things I had to put together for this book, I had this image of an elderly woman wearing a cloak with a walking staff in winter. It was a winter scene, and she was walking toward a bridge across the river. And I thought, wow, if I could find a cover like that, I'd be happy. And I talked to Leonora, and she said, well, let me look on Shutterstock and see what I can find. And she called back 10 minutes later and said, I've got it. So I don't know if I manifested it or whatever, but it turned out exactly the way I wanted it. It is, I believe, don't quote me on this, a pink or a beige background, all capital letters for the title and my name, but the initial caps are larger than the other letters in the words. And that's pretty much what I know about it.
Okay, and before we go on, would you like to tell everyone your website, and then we can repeat it at the end of the book launch?
Sure. https://www.dldbooks.com/Sally Rosenthal/.
Okay, thank you, and we'll repeat that, as I said. Now, the proceeds of both of your books are going to a very special place. Would you like to tell everyone about your decision to what you're doing with the proceeds of not just the current book, Winter Pilgrimage, but both books?
Sure. Both the royalties from both my books are going to Guiding Eyes for the Blind. And thanks for my three specialized training dogs, Boise, Greta, and Lawrence. It's a very, very small way to give back to an organization that changed my life completely. You know, no one gets rich publishing independently, but with the first book, I was very lucky and donated several bags of kibble. And I hope the second book is going to do the same. I can't think of a better organization to give his money to.
Well, that's wonderful. So on behalf of all those guide dogs, we thank you, Sally, for your decision. And now seems like the perfect time for you to share with us to whom you dedicated your book, and then to present your poem, Unlike Other Loves.
Okay. After Sandy died, I had a lot of time on my hands because I wasn't a caregiver anymore. And then we went into COVID lockdown. So I believe it was Deanna who told me about a group called Accessible World that had several Zoom book groups per month. So being a bookaholic, I think I joined six of them. And in most of them, there was this really funny, smart man named Alan. And we just became book club buddies over a couple years. But what I didn't realize, and he'll back me up on this, what I didn't realize was he was interested in me, and I was totally clueless. Thank God he was brave and persistent, because for the last 2 years, we've been like 2.5 years, we've been life partners, and I've never been happier. And do you want me to go on with the poem at this point, Alan?
Well, and I don't think you quite said it, but I think we most people will know, besides dedicating your book to Tamsin, you also dedicated it to
Alan Lemley.
There yeah. we go.
Okay. Who is here tonight? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And we're glad he is. And now you can share the poem with us, please.
Okay. Unlike other loves. Unlike other loves, I cannot see his face arriving as he did 20 years into my blindness. Should a genie knock on my door and offer me 3 wishes, seeing this new love would not be one of them. I do not need to know that silver streaks his once blonde hair, or that his green eyes are flecked with hazel. These are things told in words, but hearts speak differently, with no need of description. The end.
Thank you very much, Sally. And I think we've got time for the one bonus poem before we go to the final.
Okay.
And so I will just say that Sally has said, and she's also written, that the older that we get, the more we look back. I think that could be on a little plaque somewhere, or in some kind of
refrigerator magnet.
And yes, a refrigerator magnet. And in one of the poems in which Sally looks back in her collection is the poem My Mother's Roses. And I thought that sounded just perfect for this month of June. So Sally, we'll give that over to you to introduce.
Okay. I think those of you who have read a lot of my poetry know that my mother was an English war bride, and she came to this country with to live in a small Pennsylvania town with my father, a very small working class town. And this poem came out of my childhood, and Lisa is very kindly going to read it for us.
My mother's roses, lush and fragrant. My mother's roses took up the only strip of garden space in the backyard of my childhood home, a small row house in a working class town. Our neighbors grew tomatoes, corn, and peppers as they eked out a living in lean times. My war bride mother chose nourishment of for the soul over vegetables for a mealtime table, roses reminding her, as they did, of England. 70 years on, I don't recall what we ate for supper, but the scent of roses still makes me think of home.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sure.
Thanks to both of you. And there's that wonderful, very memorable closing line in that poem as well. So now we are going to turn to the final poem in Sally's collection from Winter Pilgrimage. And Sally, earlier in this book launch, referred to At 70, her first poem, and this poem as the bookends. And she has also shared with me that Leonard, in, I believe, the critique session that you have with Leonard, mentioned something in particular about this poem. So we'll let you introduce this final poem and then recite it for us, please.
Okay. This final poem, The Coming Winter, was one I wrote just as Leonor and David were getting ready to get the book to press, so to speak. And I really wanted to add it. And I gave it to my critique group. And when Leonard spoke about it, he said, you know, this is really a prayer. And that hadn't occurred to me. But when I looked at it again, I realized he was right. So thank you, Leonard. You always find things in my poetry that I don't even know are there. But The Coming Winter.
And before you start, I'm going to interrupt you, Sally, because I wanted...
*582 has left the meeting.
I wanted our audience to listen for a certain line in this poem, which sounds to me as if it were whispered to Sally by Emily Dickinson. It's a line that to me just sounds so much like a line from Emily Dickinson, which is a high compliment to Sally. So Sally, yeah. Now please read your poem.
Okay, The Coming Winter. As November ends and days grow cold and short, I wonder what winter this year holds in store. Another year older, I cast worn nets and pray to haul in an abundant catch of time. In a life never normal, I walk with neither ease nor grace, but thank God daily I remain upright. Eyes that once saw sunlight upon waking, leave me now to know this love beside me as he sleeps by touch alone. For him and small good acts I could perform, I hope winter holds me gently as it circles round the seasons to set me in this liminal space for yet a few more years. The end.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. And we'll be going to the audience here, I think, for a few questions now. And we may ask first if anyone can mention a portion or all of that line that you think may sound like Emily Dickinson from Sally's final poem.
Excuse me, Alice. This is Annie. Sally, you the web address wasn't correct.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll repeat it.
Thank you.
It's http://www.dldbooks.com/Sally Rosenthal/. No spaces.
Thanks, Annie.
You're welcome.
I think all you missed were the first two slashes, if I remember correctly. And I knew we were going to say it again here at the end. So thank you, Annie, for that. And we can take questions now. And I think, Annie, you said you didn't,
yes.
People didn't need to raise hands.
So, yeah. What I would like people to do is please say your name first. And if no one speaks, you know, on top of you, then just go ahead with your question.
I'm always getting in before you, Ellen.
No, ladies
and
first.
Ellen and then Deanna.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I can't say, I don't know a lot about Emily Dickinson, so I can't tell you what line it was from the poem, but I just have to say, Sally is just wonderful. So, I'm from the deep South, so we don't really do a
never,
lot of winter.
Never would have known.
We don't do a lot of winters down here, or, you know, well, I think this past year may have been the exception, but I have never looked forward to winter, winter pilgrimage more than with her. And she's great. I mean, I'm gushing kind of, but
it's great.
y'all made that mention about looking back. I'm looking forward, guys. I mean, I'm looking forward with a lot of excitement. So I don't know how else to put it. I mean, she's a wonderful soul and wonderfully talented, as you all know, and just the love of my life. So, yeah.
Thank you, Alan, so much.
We love her too. Yeah. So,
and
me
too.
I love you, Alan Wimley. I'm so glad you're in my life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right back. Yeah, right back at you. So.
Even though the first time you came to Philadelphia, it was 9 degrees with 3 inches of snow on the ground, and you didn't even have a winter coat or glove.
Yeah. And I keep coming back. So, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
It is.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks.
Yeah. Deanna?
Well, I take credit for making Sally publish because she was my writing group, and I kept hounding her because I kept telling her that it was like looking through a photograph album, the way her poems captured a moment, a thought, or an idea so clearly that you didn't miss the nuances and they were perfect, even though most of them hardly, were, you could put two to a page or three to a page. They were still so perfect vignettes of a thought, a moment, or a place in time. And I kept bugging her until she sent Peonies in Winter to get published. And I'm so proud of her because she does have an exceptional talent. And we in her group one critique group have all loved working with her over the years as she got braver and shared her work.
Oh, Deanna, thank you. And it's true. You did push me, and I wasn't going to publish, but how could I disappoint Deanna? You just can't do that. That's not acceptable. So thank you so much.
And Deanna, Sally tells me you were the one that told her about the Accessible World Book Group.
Yes.
So I think I'm in your debt too. So
that's why we get to pick on him. Well, that's why we get to pick on him together, which he says we gang up.
In the book groups, we always gang up on him.
That's because we love him. He's a very special human being. And if you don't tease the people you love, they don't know that you care.
That's true.
Sally, this is Leonard.
Oh, hooray, Leonard!
I just want you to know that from the very beginning, you have been my most favorite poet or writer, I should say, and you are the my favorite poet, and I can't say any more than that.
Leonard, I've got tears in my eyes. Thank you so much. I know I'm not the only person who's so happy you're here tonight, and I thank you for everything you've done to make me the writer I am. And I think I heard Diane in background earlier. Thank you too, Diane, for being here. And Leonard, I think I and everybody else in Behind Our Eyes is so grateful that you're here tonight. You're making such good progress.
I wouldn't have missed it.
Yay, Leonard.
Thank you. Yeah. Yay.
So glad you're here, Leonard.
We keep your chair center stage in group one.
And also, I thank Alice for getting you up to speed with the or whatever you're using. So I thank you both. I'm so glad both of you are here. And I'm grateful, Deanna, that you helped Sally to want to publish, because otherwise we wouldn't be having this book launch.
No,
I
great.
think a number of people also seconded what Deanna was saying because, as Leonard has said, Sally's poetry is just really extraordinary, and her prose is mighty good also. But those poems certainly do shine, and we just are very grateful you're part of our Behind Our Eyes organization. So, I guess we should ask Annie if anybody else has questions
Yes,
here.
Carol.
Yes. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Oops. You are.
Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, Sally is a wonderful addition to the carousel. She always comes up with wonderful things. She'll say, "Oh, I can't think of anything." And lo and behold, before the end of the month, she has a beautiful, beautiful poem to share. So she doesn't know how good she is. And I think we are all happy that she is in our group. My favorite poem is the one about Tansen. Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that one? And thank you.
I think I have a couple of poems about Tamsin in the book. Tamsin is a rescue cat. My husband died in May of 2019. My guide dog Lawrence hung up his harness in September of 2019, and I thought, this is yours not going well. I need a cat. So a friend of mine took me to a local no-kill shelter, and the first cat I took to the meet and greet room was the cat who came home with me. My friend said, she never took her eyes off you except to look at the door as if to say, okay, give him a check and let's go home. So Tamsin came into my life. She is, at the time, she was a 3.5-year-old stray turned in with a litter of kittens. She is a black domestic short hair. Probably a lot of Siamese in her. She's very vocal. And actually, Alan has a lot to be thankful to Tamsin for, because the first time he came up to Philadelphia, Tamsin adored him. I said, you're not going to see her here. She just hides when people are here. Well, we were sitting on the sofa. She walked across the end table, walked across my lap, and crawled up on his lap. And I thought, who buys your food? Who got you home from the shelter? But honestly, if she had not liked him, I would have had second thoughts, because it's trust your animals. So, Carol, I'm not sure what poem you're referring to. I know I had Tamsin's prayer in there about
That's
Christmas
the
Eve,
one.
but
That's the
that's the
one.
one. Yeah, I don't have that memorized, I'm sorry. But I
Oh,
looked
that's
at
fine.
but I took liberties with The Night Before Christmas, and wrote it about Tamsin looking out my bedroom window.
Nice.
Scary. I
Yeah.
scary.
Yeah.
My cat was just listening to that and is asking me why I don't write poetry. So I'm good. I want to thank for sharing these poems and prose with us tonight. They're really excellent, and
Oh,
they
thank you,
just
Sherry.
give you such a picture. It's just incredible. And so thank you
Thanks.
very much. I look forward to reading the whole thing time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. Sherry's in a lot of our book groups.
I want to know where you got the name Tamsin.
Excuse me?
Where did you come up with the name Tamsin? Where did that come
Oh,
from?
I. It's a Celtic, Cornish, and Welsh name, and it's a name I've always liked. It's Cornish for Thomasina, and I've just liked the name, and I don't know anybody else by that name. So if I had come home with a male cat, because it was close to Christmas, he was going to be Christopher. But if I got a male, if I got a female, it was going to be Tamsin, and Tamsin she is.
Cool.
Beautiful. All
Right. Well, it
this
is
is
8
Cindy.
p.m.
This is Cindy Bousquet Harris.
Oh, hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Oh, Cindy, hi. Thank you for coming. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see
Yeah.
when Leonard said wouldn't miss it, that I agree.
Oh,
Maybe
thank you.
Cindy knows that line that I think is very Emily Dickinson-esque.
Yes, I was trying. I thought I got to get back to that question, and I don't know. I mean, a lot of it sounds like it could be Emily Dickinson-ish. I'm thinking it might be "I Hope Winter Holds Me Gently."
Precisely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You win
Really?
the door prize, Cindy.
All
And
right.
I want to thank Cindy for all her workshops. I think I went a little haiku crazy after the haiku one, but she's always been very supportive and kind about my work. And thank you so much for the Pushcart Prize nomination. And you have a book of your own out now, a new book.
Yes, it's in the works, so they tell me.
Okay.
Thank God. I mean, eventually, finally.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you. Yes, called Rain
Couldn't happen to a
Shadow.
nicer person.
What, pardon
Thank you,
me?
Cindy. I said it couldn't
Oh.
happen to a nicer person, a new book
Oh.
out. Yeah.
Oh,
So
thank you so much.
thank you for coming.
Oh, my pleasure. Totally.
And speaking of the haiku, that Sally included three haiku sequences in Winter Pilgrimage. She was so kind to think of this and write in her author's note at the beginning of the book that even though haiku traditionally do not have titles, she gave her three haiku sequences titles and used punctuation or line breaks in a way that ALEXA reads those especially well. And I really appreciated your thoughtfulness about that, Sally, so that we knew where those haiku were and could find, very easily one from the next and so forth. That was especially thoughtful of you, and that worked out very well.
I'm glad it did because I had read other haiku and books and it all kind of blended together and you didn't know we were in the same haiku if you were in another one. And
Yes.
I didn't want to do that, so I broke tradition and gave titles.
And I am so
Good.
glad you did.
Good.
It worked really well.
Good for you.
Yeah. Do we have any other questions?
Hi, my name is
Oh.
Kara Snyder. Can you hear me?
Oh,
Hi, Kara.
hi, Kara. Hi. And
Yes.
Petals.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes. Kara and Petals. Sally and I are grads together from Guiding Eyes for the Blind, along with Annie. And I just want to thank you. This was so inspiring. I'm coming up on 60, so I'm already
Oh, just
thinking.
wait.
He's just
Just
a
a baby
baby.
yet.
He's just a
Yeah.
baby.
Well, you're touching on themes, and also I lost my mother in this past year,
Oh, I'm sorry.
and a lot of what you're writing about just really touched me, and the small kindnesses, and especially your acknowledging animals really is special to me. And I also really enjoyed hearing Alan speak. That was really touching as
Yeah.
well. And I'm just very happy for the
Oh, thank
fact that
you,
you guys
Kara, for
found each
coming.
other.
I
So
appreciate it.
I look more forward to writing since I just lost all my vision and I'm a visual artist. So
Oh, my.
I'm looking for other forms of expression, and writing seems like a natural. So you may see more of me in the future.
That would be great.
Right.
I hope so. I
Right.
hope so.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Thank you
Kara.
so much, Sally.
Thank you.
Just
Thank
wonderful.
you.
This is Cindy again. My question, Sally, is so what's next?
Well, I was afraid somebody was going to ask me that. Like I said, I was going to write one book and not another, and then I wrote another. I really think this is the final book, but what I usually write is poetry for the Carousel Group each month and for the Critique Group, and occasionally I throw in something else. So, who knows? 2 years from now, I may sit and look at my Word document file and think, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
Yeah.
So this is this is a possibility. But right now I'm happy with the two books I wrote. I think they really complement each other, and we'll see where life goes on from here.
Just keep writing.
Yeah.
She will. She just it. She can't help it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I know.
I understand.
That's
I
what
understand.
scares
In the
me.
blood, yes.
That early morning cup of tea usually sets her off.
Yeah.
All right.
And Sally, I think Alan likes you.
I think so. Yeah.
He finally had to hit her
I
over the
gathered
head to
that.
get her to notice,
Yeah, it's
Yeah,
recorded, you know,
no.
Alan. You know,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
got to get away from it now.
Yeah,
No way. I don't
yeah.
think he wants to. That's
No, I
fine with
know.
me.
No,
Very
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
She's sweet.
He's a
Yeah.
sweetheart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
All right.
Both are sweethearts,
As a
and it's
friend of
lovely they found each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
And
indeed.
as a
Yes.
friend, yeah, as a friend of mine said, she's been, Sandy Finley has been my friend for over 45 years, and she knew Alan from a couple of tech groups and things like that. And she said, you know, in another world of Alan and Sandy, my late husband, if Alan and Sandy got together, they'd go out for a couple of beers and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I said,
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
if, I said it might have to be a couple of glasses of wine, but yeah, I guess I have something for smart, funny men and
Yeah.
very kind men. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Well, on
I'll
that happy note, are we ready to begin wrapping things up for this
Yes,
evening?
it's 8:07.
And
Yeah.
I know we
Oh my.
start a
Yeah.
little late though, so I was sort of counting the hour from our little late start, but that
Yeah.
was fine for us to
Well,
start a little bit late. And so I
I
just
just
want to
yeah.
say
I
thank
just
you.
want to thank oh, I just want to thank everybody for coming. This has been great. I don't know who the Sally Rosenthal is, but I'm going to meet this woman because she sounds like a pretty good writer. So thank you so much. And Leonard
Yeah.
especially.
Yeah.
And don't
Yeah.
forget to leave a review on her on her
That's
Amazon.
right. Say that
Yes,
again?
all need reviews.
do.
I'm sorry, Deanna,
It's not painful to leave a
I didn't
review.
hear.
No,
Oh,
just
okay.
encouraging them to leave reviews on Amazon because it gets your book noticed.
And I always say, besides getting the book through your smart speaker for yourself,
Don has left
you
the
can
meeting.
give them to friends. Yeah.
them for friends and family as
Lindenwood has
gifts.
left the meeting.
Both of her books make wonderful gifts, and I've certainly
Well,
given peonies a
the first one was fortunate, it came out in early December. So I had a lot of people saying, I'm buying it for Christmas gifts. And I thought, oh, that's what you want your Christmas stocking, the book about grief and bereavement. But
Well,
it sold well.
it's for some
It
people
worked.
that's a hard time of year,
Yeah.
and your
Yeah,
book
that's
could bring
true.
them comfort.
Yeah.
That's
There's
right.
also a
Well, I know I'm going to
difference.
be
Be giving out a couple of copies for the holidays for sure.
You
So,
know,
Sally.
the
Yeah.
really nice thing about that book, I got an email one night from a hospital chaplain in Montana who worked on an organ transplant unit. And she said she was going to use the poem Two Vigils in my first book because her team never saw it from the other side, from the donor side. They always were working with recipients and their families. And instead of a prayer for their team meeting the next morning, she was going to read that poem. And, you know, that's exactly what I wanted this book to do. Go to people. It just found its way to people. I still got emails from people who said, oh, I have a friend whose life can decide. I'm going to send her your book. That's what I wanted. Word of mouth. And it just took off.
And
Yeah.
plus,
Thank
just
you,
hearing
everybody, for
wonderful.
coming.
Just hearing your
I'm.
poems tonight, they're so poignant. They don't necessarily have to be sad. They can be poignant, which is really moving in a different way.
Yeah.
Yes,
Thank
they're
you.
lovely that
And those
way.
of you who know me know that I have a really warped sense of humor. I'm not the sad little person who writes about death and bereavement all the time.
So,
No,
yeah,
well,
but
that
thank
was
you. That's
during
just
your
so
time when you
wonderful.
were working through it. I mean,
Yeah.
that's what she does. She writes about the things that are currently in her head at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning when she's
Yeah.
drinking
Yeah.
that first cup of tea alone and communing with.
Having, yeah, having said the task first. Yeah, I know my place in the
Yeah, feed the cat and then fix yourself a cup of tea and sit there and
Yes.
think.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get in just a little bit of thank you here before we close for this evening. And I certainly want to thank all of you who joined us this evening to laud and applaud Sally, her wonderful writing, and her two wonderful books. So, really, thank you so much for allowing us to have such a good attendance here this evening for this June book launch. And a special thank you for Annie for being our Zoom host again and again and tonight. And I want to thank Lisa as well for joining us and participating as our special guest reader. And last but not least,
Leader has
I
left the
thank my
meeting.
dear friend Sally Rosenthal for these two wonderful books and for giving me a second opportunity to interview her. Thank you so much, Sally. You're such a special.
Thank you, Alice.
And so now I don't know, Lisa, if you want to do the little bow promo,
Sure.
want to forego that tonight or what, but
Well,
Sally, if you want a final word or Lisa or Annie, but I am saying thank you all and good night from my microphone tonight.
1,616 stars. 042 has left the
So
meeting.
I guess I will just say congratulations, Sally, on your book. And I think you're a
Thanks,
wonderful
Lisa.
writer. And I'm so glad that we could share your poems together. I wanted to just say also, for anyone who doesn't know who we are, Behind Our Eyes is a place where disabled writers come together to share works with each other. We have stimulating Sunday night speakers twice a month, or we have workshops at that time, usually on Zoom. We have the opportunity to publish in an online magazine called Magnets and Ladders twice a year. There are people who teach free classes to improve our craft. We participate in readers' workshops. We just get a chance to read your work out loud. The critique groups have been mentioned. We have a lot of critique groups, at least four. We've published three anthologies and we're working on a fourth one. We have a website with recordings of our conferences since 2010. When you join the organization, a mentor or pilot can guide you through ways to get more involved in the group. There's no fee to join, and there's a lot of supportive people here. We have our email list where there's a marketing one. There's a genre list where we have a different topic every month. We have in the regular list where people can send their writings and get comments on them. We have Friday write-ins where you can come and say what you're going to work on, then go away for an hour and come back and talk about what you've accomplished. We also have once a month submission parties where you can do the same thing. You go away and you submit, you come back and talk about what you've accomplished. And then, of course, we have these book launches, and I'm not sure if I missed anything. Anybody think I missed anything?
The website,
Oh, the website? Yeah.
www.behindoureyes.org.
That's right. That is correct. So, thank you
Right.
all so much for being here, and I hope we see you all soon.
Good night,
Night.
everybody. I'm
Good
going to
night.
close the
Thanks
meeting.
so much,
Be well,
everybody.
all.
Night. Good
Good
night.
night.
Thank you.
Has left the
Good night.
meeting.